the light of Christ. The open Bible. The water of our baptism. And the red sand of our earth. We gather in acknowledgement of the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pray our respects to their elders, past and present, and to all of their ancestors who have cared for this land since creation. Welcome to you, to everyone sharing worship with us today, here, online, now or later. If you'd like to participate in Holy Communion from home or wherever you are, prepare bread, juice, wine now for use later. How precious to us are your thoughts, loving God. If we could count them, they would outnumber all of the sand.
When you wake up each morning, you are with each one of us.
We praise you for your awesomeness.
Wonderful,
wonderful, wonderful are all your works. Let us stand together and worship God by singing, "All creatures worship God Most High."
Sky, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning. Welcome to our worship. As Pam has already welcomed you, I extend my welcome to you to wherever you are this morning, gathered or later on. Today, being the first Sunday of September, the church, the Uniting Church, particularly emphasises the sustainable September theme, or the season of creation. The season of creation is the season between Pentecost and Advent, and we run through to October, but the sustaining September is obviously through September. And today we're focusing on creation. The creation, the season, the environment, an acknowledgement of God as provider and sustainer of all the universe, the galaxies, and this place. And we are called to be sustainers and stewards of this planet, in it, all around it, and whatever it may be. The United Church has always had a deep concern for the environment and takes seriously the call to care for creation. Sustainable September is a theme to turn around, time to turn around. And for decades, we've been aware of the impact of humanity is having on our planet's atmosphere and environment. The climate is progressively getting warmer. The world is losing species, natural habitats, and yet Australia and the rest of the world continues to mine and deforest. We clog our oceans with plastics and the air and the ground with toxins. It is time to turn around. In fact, it's well past time to turn it around. It's time to turn around our thinking and our actions. It's time to reset our relationship with creation, with God, the Creator, and how we see ourselves as human beings. This is a spiritual crisis as much as it is a social and technological crisis. As God's people, we ourselves must turn around. But we can also give voices and be agents of change for others to do likewise. So this September, we call on people of faith, and indeed the whole global community, to open our eyes. To open our eyes. To look at what is happening. Is it time to turn around? Yes, it is time to turn around. And so our worship this morning is a theme based around creation and sustainability. Thanks, Ben.
Let's pray. Creator and life-sustaining God, thank you for your goodness and your blessing over us. Thank you for bringing hope when all we feel is hopelessness. Thank you for providing strength when we are weak. Thank you for showing us love when we are feeling unloved. Thank you for a sense of peace when we find ourselves in a state of frantic agitation. Thank you for showing us your constant, patient love every day through the beauty of creation. For the joyous hope we see in the bright Kimberley rose blooming effortlessly from a barren branch. For the towering strength resplendent in the majestic peaks of the Hamersley Ranges. For the tender love demonstrated by an emu standing protectively over a young chick. For the moment of peace found in the soft glide of a pelican landing smoothly on the river. Teach us that by caring more deeply for our natural world, and by stopping more frequently to appreciate and praise your magnificent presence in our environment, we can be in closer communion with you. Our appreciation for the hope, strength, love, and peace you give us can be reflected every day in the care and protection of our own environment, wherever that may be in our vast and awesome country. We confess, Creator God, We can never fully know you. Instead, the wisdom of our forebears teaches us to see glimpses of you in the beauty and majesty of our natural world. Our First Nations people have always known that the earth is sacred because the sacred is in the earth. Continents away and centuries later, our Jewish sisters and brothers also found you in nature in the Old Testament. You appeared as a rock colour, as a cloud, wind, breath, rock. Later still, John the Baptist used water to bring people into a closer relationship with you, and Jesus knelt in the garden to be near you. Yet today, we seem to have lost this understanding of you. Instead of connecting with you through nature, we worship the false prophets, gods of profit and consumerism. Instead of honouring you through preservation, we spoil what is precious for short-term gratification. And instead of recognising that you exist in and for all things, we take for ourselves and steal both from those who live near to us now and those who are not yet living. Lord God, forgive us. God, we ask this day for the wisdom to help us recognize the urgency of this moment and the courage to take action before it is too late. Amen. You remain seated and sing along with this video, Touch the Earth Lightly.
Touch the earth lightly, use the earth gently, nourish the life of the world in our care. Gift of great wonder, us to surrender, trust for the children tomorrow will bear. We who endanger, who create hunger, agents of death for all creatures that live. We who would foster clouds of disaster, God of our planet, host all in forgive. Let there be greening, birth from the burning, water the blessings and air that is sweet. Health in God's garden, hope in God's children, regeneration, let peace so complete. God of all living, God of all loving, God of the seedling, the snow and the sun, teach us, deflect us, Christ reconnect us, using us, changing, and making us one.
Today is also Father's Day, and I'd like to lead us in a brief reflection and liturgy about Father's Day. And it's kind of a prayer, so let's join in prayer. We give thanks to God for fathers who are being celebrated today. We also acknowledge this day can be difficult for many due to a variety of reasons. May we be mindful and prayerful towards those experiencing sadness, grief, and other emotions that this day can bring. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, creator and redeemer of all. You nurture us from all eternity. giving life to creation and pouring out your love into all that you have made. We give thanks for fathers who strive to balance the demand of work, marriage, children, with an honest awareness of both joy and sacrifice. We pray for those fathers who, lacking a good model for a father, have worked to become good fathers. We also give thanks to God for those fathers who, in despite of separation or divorce, have remained in their children's lives, and for whose fathers the children are adopted and whose love and support is being offered. We thank you for those fathers who, as stepfathers, freely choose the obligation of fatherhood and earn their stepchildren's love and respect. And we ask your special blessing and prayer on those who have lost a child to death and who continue to hold those children in their hearts. We also give thanks to God for those, the men, fathers who have no children, but cherish the next generation as if they were their own. We ask your blessing on those who are about to become fathers. May they openly delight in their children. And we continue to pray for the fathers who have died, but live on in our memories, and whose love continues to nurture, inspire, and lead us. So God of creation, gentle life giver, hear our prayers this day, this Father's Day. Amen.
Our first Bible reading today comes from Jeremiah 18, 1 to 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do this with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done?" says the Lord. "Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore, says the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings." This ends the first reading. Our second reading comes from Psalm 139, 1 to 7, 13 to 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. So endeth our Bible readings of today. Thanks be to God.
One of the first images captured by the James Webb Space Telescope this year has a picture of a galaxy, of stars and suns and planets. It's a landscape of mountains and valleys speckled with glittering stars. It's actually the edge of a young star-forming region called NGC 3324 in the Charon Nebula. Praise God. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said, "Today we present humanity with groundbreaking new view of the cosmos from the James Webb Telescope, a view the world has never seen before. These images, including the deepest infrared view of our universe that has ever been taken, show us how Webb will help uncover the answers to questions we don't even yet know to ask. Questions that will help us better understand our universe and humanity's place within it." I say, this is mind-blowing, boggling. It is incredible. It is fantastic. But today, are we concerned more about humanity and all creation's place on this planet? As a kid on the family farm on hot summer nights, we would often sleep out on the back lawn, take our mattresses out and the mosquito spray, and we'd sleep outside and we'd, of course, look up. And there was no artificial light on the farm, and you turn the lights off, there's no street lights or city. The universe was ablaze with the night sky, the Milky Way, and all the stars that we could see anyway. And I would wonder, how many stars are there? Is there life? And this was the one that always blew my mind. Is there someone looking down at me from out there? Just this week, the NASA Artemis number one rocket that was proposed to go around the moon a couple of times and then come back failed to launch with engine problems. And the crash test dummies inside the rocket failed to launch. But it was around 45 years ago that this photograph was taken. It's meant to be blurry. You're not really meant to be able to see what you're meant to see. But what you're meant to see is the Earth and the Moon in the same picture frame for the first time ever from Voyager 1. And now we can look at the Earth, as clear as day, with pictures like this that are so clear and detailed. Astronauts have said a lot about the mental and even spiritual effect of seeing the Earth from space. It's actually so common it's been given a name, and it's called the overview effect. Edgar Mitchell of Apollo 14, the sixth person to walk on the moon in 1971, had a profound spiritual experience while looking at the Earth outside the window of his spacecraft, and it changed his life forever. Multiple astronauts and cosmonauts have reported this kind of surprising, sudden shift in their spiritual awareness during their time of orbiting our planet in space. And Mitchell said, something happens to you out there. You develop an instant global consciousness, a people orientation, an intense dissatisfaction with the state of the world and the compulsion to do something about it. From out there on the moon, international politics looks so petty. He later wrote a book about this subject in which he said, the overview effect is a message from the universe to humanity. The message is that the Earth, when seen from orbit of the moon, or the moon, is a whole system where borders and boundaries disappear and everything is interconnected. The overview effect describes the cognitive and a spiritual shift in the recognition of our independence, our fundamental unity with nature, with our planet, and with each other. They and we sense this fragility of Earth as a vulnerable ball of life. And Michael Collins from Apollo 11 says, the thing that really surprised me was that it, Earth, projected an air of fragility. And why, I don't know. I don't know to this day. And I had a feeling it's tiny. It's tiny and it's shiny, it's beautiful, it's home and it's fragile. Alan Shepard, Apollo 14, said, when I first looked back at the Earth standing on the moon, I cried. Of course, people of faith already knew this. I read an article this week from a Scottish about a Scottish minister and astronomer by the name of William Leach, who predicted the overview effect when he wrote a book, or in his journal, A Journey Through Space and Back, in 1861. Leach believed that something transformative would happen when we left our planet and went into space and saw ourselves from the perspective which we've traditionally imagined that God sees us. He wrote, "It is immense. It is the immensity of the universe contrasted with the humble abode of man that brings about strikingly the value of the human soul as redeemed by the death of the cross. When you attempt to plumb the depths of space or number the orbs of heaven, your feeling is, how little is man." In other words, when we get this sense of sheer vastness of our universe, in which our tiny planet is suspended, we get this sense of how small we are. And later, many people ridiculed Leach, but a century later, in 1961, the Soviet cosmonaut Gagarin, became the first human to ride a rocket into space, making a revolution around the Earth. 100 years later, think about it, in a handful of decades, we've escaped the bonds of gravity and atmosphere that have held us here since we were specks of dust, or the beginning of our species, and able to look back at our home from space. and think how small. None of us will ever go into space. Soraya might. I don't think anyone else of us will. And see the planet as described by Neil Armstrong as that tiny pea, pretty and blue. From space, astronauts tell us national boundaries vanish, the conflicts that divide us become less important, and the need to create a planetary society with the united will to protect this pale blue dot becomes obvious and imperative. Abdullah Baha'i, in a speech he gave in 1912 to All Souls Unitarian Church in New York, put it this way: "The world of humanity is one race, the surface of the earth one place of residence, and these imaginary racial barriers and political boundaries are without right or foundation." How trivial are our differences? How foolish are our desires to fight over the right to possess a patch of land? How deluded have we become to believe that strength and power might have anything to do with the number of weapons we own or the material wealth? How misguided are our attempts to resist collective action? How little is humankind, but how precious is this world we share? O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. So astronauts can speak of how striking it is to see this little blue planet of greens and whites against the backdrop of vastness. Nicole Stott, an International Space Station and shuttle astronaut, says, "We have this connection to Earth. I mean, it's our home. And I don't know how you can come back and not in some way be changed." Another space station astronaut, Ron Garan: "When we look down at the Earth from space, we see this amazing, incredibly beautiful planet. It looks like a living, breathing organism, but it is also at the same time looks extremely fragile. Anybody who has gone into space says the same thing, because it really is striking and it really is sobering to see the paper-thin layer, and to realize this paper-thin layer is all that protects all living things on Earth from death, the harshness of space." And James Lovell of Apollo 8 described the vision of our planet as the most beautiful thing there was in all the heavens. And it's no surprise to learn and to read that Lovell and the crew members of that Apollo 8 took out the Bible and read aloud chapters from Genesis as they looked at the earth from the spaceship window. "O God, let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together called the seas. And God saw it, and it was good." And it goes on according to this pattern that Genesis poetically declares that God creates seasons, changing seasons with clear signs. God creates order out and beauty out of chaos. and the various parts of this creation live together in harmony. And it is good. But we stand here today and things are not good. The order that God has created out of chaos is being dragged back into chaos. Our climate is changing. The pattern is deviating from the God pattern that God intended. If we are to redress this, we need to see our planet as the astronauts saw our planet, or see our planet. We need to see this planet as God sees it. We need to see things from the perspective of God, the Creator, who knows us deeply, fully, and intimately in some way. As the potter shapes the clay in the vision from Jeremiah, and who does so with love and intent. We, our whole earth, are this precious creation. Precious, fragile, one. It's time to turn around.
All-powerful God, filling all the universe and the smallest of your creatures, you embrace all life with tenderness. Oh yeah. Pour out the power of your love that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace that we may live as sisters and brothers. We thank you. Oh, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for being with us every day. Hey, hey. We thank you. Oh, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for being with us in every way. God of the poor, help us to rescue the lost and forgotten of this earth.
So precious in your eyes, oh yeah.
Bring healing to our lives and we'll protect the world from all this confusion. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the earth. We thank you.
Oh,
we thank you.
Oh,
we thank you for being with us every day. Hey, hey. We thank you.
Oh,
we thank you.
Oh,
we thank you for being with us in every way. Teach us, O God, to discover the worth of each and everything.
To be filled with awe and contemplation, oh yeah.
To see we are united with every little thing as we journey to your light. Encourage us, we pray, to work for justice, peace, love, and understanding. We thank you.
Oh,
we thank you.
Oh,
we thank you for being with us every day. Hey, hey. We thank you.
Whoa.
We thank you.
Whoa.
We thank you for being with us in every way. We thank you.
Whoa.
We thank you.
Whoa.
We thank you for being with us every day. We thank you.
Whoa.
We thank you.
Whoa.
We thank you.
with us in every way.
Welcome to this time of Holy Communion and sharing, a time and a place where heaven and earth connect in this moment of time, where we break bread together and share the cup together in Christ. So together there will be some responses on the screen. O God, who gives birth to all that we see, all that we know, and all that we dream.
And all that is unseen, unknown, and unimagined.
We celebrate your life that holds and nurtures the universe.
We celebrate your love which joins creation as one, and unites all things we live.
We give thanks for your life which is incarnated in Christ. We savour your presence which is limitless and welcoming.
And your spirit which fills every moment of time and every fragment of matter.
So let us reflect on the grace of God, the brokenness of our world, and the call to be agents of healing and recreation. Where human greed has stripped the world of beauty and life and robbed people of dignity and substance. Where human hatred has severed relationships and broken the connection that unites creation. Where human loneliness, weakness, sickness, and grief, and the suffering of our planet and its inhabitants hide the signs of your life. And we sing together the song, Feed Us Now, Bread of Life. Remain seated as we prepare to share in communion this morning. Feed us now, Bread of Life.
We
the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And the Lord's glory covers the earth as the waters cover the seas. The trees of the field, they clap their hands. The birds of the air sing songs of praise. And if we should fail to express our worship, even the rocks would cry out. And so we lift up our hearts today. We lift up our voices and we offer thanksgiving and adoration to God, the Creator of all. In faith and expectation, in wonder and celebration, we gather to remember this mystery. In all things, in you, O God, live, move, and breathe. In all things, you live and move and breathe in your diverse, divine artistry. And so we join with all of creation in the eternal song of worship and devotion together. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So blessed are you, O sovereign of the universe, for from seeds sown into the earth you have given us the gift of bread to feed and nourish. And at Jesus' last meal with his friends before facing the cross, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it, and passed it saying, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." Blessed are you, sovereign of the universe, for from grapes which grow ripe and sweet in the vine, you have given us the gift of wine to refresh and heal us. At Jesus' last meal with his friends before facing the cross, Jesus took the cup of wine and blessed it, poured it, and passed it to his friends, saying, "Take, drink from this, all of you. When you do this, remember me." And now we come to your table again, Jesus, we're mindful that we cannot earn your place, our place. We cannot purchase this privilege, but it is your grace and welcome that beckons us, and at your grace which ensures that all creation may become one and whole. May your Spirit work on these fruits of the earth of creation, that by sharing in them they will become for us the body of Christ shared among us, the life of Christ. May your Spirit work in us, your children of earth, that we may be transformed into the body of Christ, refreshed and renewed. So come, for all is ready. All are welcome to this place, to this table. I invite you to come down the central aisle, receive the bread and the cup, stay as long as you like, and return via the wall aisle, and the bowls are on the pedestals for you to place your glasses in. Servers, please come forward. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, the bread of life, broken for you. The
body of Christ, the bread of life, broken
for you. The life of Christ, shed for you. The whole of creation, out of love and grace. Come, for all is ready.
life can yet be born. Oh, welcome to the building. All invited to the fruit. On earth God's planned a garden. Every hand that's gripped a sword can make a plowshare too.
Let's join together in prayer. Now let us from this table rise, renewed in body, mind, and soul. With Christ we die and live again, His selfless love has made us whole. With minds alert, upheld by grace to spread the word in speech and deed, we follow in the steps of Christ, at one with all in hope and need. Then give us grace, companion God, to choose again the pilgrim way and help us to accept with joy the challenge of tomorrow's day. Amen.
The Beyond Vision magazine was out during the week, and I guess most of you have got it, or if you haven't got a copy, there's some in the foyer. Also the newsletter, take notice of the important notices inside there. Those who are coming to lunch next Sunday, can you please see Anne after the service, so that you know where you're going. And the funeral of Bob Sullivan will be here next Friday. Great God of wonders, you have given us much. In gratitude, we bring our gifts of money for use here and in the wider world. We pray, God of the potter's field hand, create all that has been, all that is, and all that will be. We wonder at the beauty of the world around us, the brooding purple hills and clouds grey with rain, the outrageous dancing of daffodils, frolicking lambs, soaring earth, eagles, and gardens bursting with the buds of spring. All around us is beauty that sings of your goodness, and yet so often we fail to see that beauty within ourselves, and we forget that we are created by your good hand, and we pretend that we are totally in charge of ourselves, and we resist being shaped like clay on the wheel, and we miss becoming vessels that will hold and carry your promise to the world. We confess that fear gets in the way. Letting go into your will is risky. Being changed is a bit frightening. Being remade can be disorienting for a while. And even knowing all that, we ask you to throw us into the new pots on your wheel of creative energy, deep mercy and costly love. Take our clay, ancient and new, and do what you will. Discard what is unnecessary and remake us until our souls echo the shape of faith, hope and love, and we are formed, conformed and reformed, born again in love outrageous, into the sub-community of heaven here on earth. Amen. Let us stand and sing, let all creation dance.
Thank you.
It is not you who shapes God. It is God who shapes you. If then you are the work of God, await the hand of the artist who does things in all season. Offer the potter your heart, soft and tactile, and keep the form in which the artist has fashioned you. Let your clay be moist, lest you grow hard and lose the imprint of the potter's fingers. So, God of life, in your hand we find our lives. Be present as we leave this place. Let your spirit remain with us each day as you mould us, shape us and remake us until we conform to the shape that you call us to take, the shape of love, and be known and shown in Christ. To the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Spirit be with you all. Amen.